If you've missed any of these on identity, this series we're doing, then please go to the website and have a look. Or if you go to iTunes and search for Grace Church Bromsgrove, you can subscribe to our podcast stream. And if you've got an iPhone or iPad, it will automatically download them every time there's a new one. Fancy, isn't it? So if you're already subscribed, check it, because I had to make some changes to it this week. So you may need to resubscribe, I don't know. But there we go. So who was I? Who am I? And who can I be? That's really been the phrase that sums up what we've been doing since the beginning of September. And after today, there's only two left in the series. Good, no cheers there. That's good. Well done. Now, a number of people have come up to me. I've been really encouraged with stories of how this has helped them, changed them, the way God's used them when they've put some of this stuff into practice. And I'm really encouraged by that. It's really helpful for me to hear. But also, if you do have stories like that, I think it's in 2 weeks' time, we have an afternoon that we often call Celebration and Testimonies. And it would be good for you to share those stories with others, because it's encouraging. I find it encouraging. Others will find it encouraging too. Now, it's been crucial, or it is crucial, for us to understand our identity in Christ, exactly who we are. Because once we know who we are, we know who we can be, and we know the effects we can have on those around us, whether they're in the church or outside of the church. Now, today, what I should be doing right now is pulling out of my back pocket my passport, because I meant to bring it with me, and I completely forgot as I left the house this afternoon. But let's imagine I have a passport. I did this once. I was speaking at someone's wedding, and my whole thing wrapped around an illustration which involved me holding up a bottle of ketchup. Oh, look, a passport. Yes, someone's getting ready to leave the country. Thank you, Matt. Just checking it. For the sake of the recording, I'm just checking out the picture. It's not my passport. Thank you. That's really helpful. Inside this passport is not me, but there's a picture, and it has Matt's picture in there, and there's a picture in here, date of birth. I'm not going to read that out. You're okay. And all sorts of things in there. The reason there's a picture is to prove that who this belongs to. This is important. It establishes identity, but not only that, it establishes the country that the holder comes from. So on here, United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Mine says the same. And these are important. And it's a proof of identity. Over the last few weeks, as we've looked at identity, we've looked at some of the distinguishing features. So on here, there are distinguishing features, as a photo, date of birth, all of that kind of stuff. We've looked at things like being in Christ, completely identified with him. We have no other past and no other future other than being in Christ. We've looked at the fact that we are recreated, like the date of birth on here. This is when we were really born, born of the Spirit, born as a believer, a new beginning. We've looked that we're sons of God, a new inheritance. We're no longer slaves, but sons. And we are heirs of God. We have a new parent, someone who's parenting us as we go. And then last week, we looked at the fact that we are royalty. And I really enjoyed last week because I got to stand here and shout, "Don't you know who I am?" Which I've never been able to do before. And that we should be saying this. We should be saying this when we come into opposition. We should be declaring, "Don't you know who I am? I'm royalty. I am a son, a daughter of the King." It's good stuff. I really enjoyed it last week. We're members of God's household. Now, if we're members of God's household, If we're part of a new royal kingdom, that means we've got a new citizenship. And that's why today we're looking at being heavenly citizens. We were, if you remember last week, we talked about being stateless refugees with no hope, totally helpless, drowning. But now we've been plucked out of that and we've been made into royal people who are part of a new kingdom. We've had a new passport issued. And it's a passport that says, citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Because that's who we are. And that's what I want us to get hold of today. And to begin with, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. You can look that up if you like. I'm going to read that out. I'll just read those 10 verses and we'll get stuck into that and look at our heavenly citizenship. And we're going to look at some of the benefits and attributes of being heavenly citizens and what that means. So Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. And you, and the you in this is all of us, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Here's that phrase again. For by grace you have been saved through faith. What does that mean? Well, it says, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we all, I've put the all bit in there just to emphasize it, for we all are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is how we got our citizenship. Three things here. Verse 1, we were dead. Okay, we were dead. Dead in our transgressions and sins. That's where we came from. That's how we lived. But then in verse 4, we were raised, made alive with Christ. This is what happened when we believed. This is our recreation, our new birth, our adoption. This is when we became royalty, sonship in the family of God. And then verse 6, we were seated with him in heavenly realms. We were dead, we were raised, and now we're seated. And notice, we were dead, we were raised, now we're seated. The way it describes this is all past tense. This is all done. It's all done. It's already been done. So this is about our current position. Our current position is that we are seated with him in heavenly places right now. There's nothing you need to do. Just believe it, realize it, and thank him for it for the rest of eternity. Good, isn't it? That's a good place to be. The fact that we are now seated with him, with Christ, in heavenly places. But what does that mean for us? What about this new passport? What are my rights? What are my privileges? And what are my obligations? So let's start by looking at our country of origin. Heavenly realms, heavenly places. What are the heavenly realms? Well, when the Bible was written, the heavenly realms would have been the part in the Jewish world would have been known as the third heaven. The first heaven being the earth's atmosphere, where the clouds are, where the birds fly, and all of that. The second heaven was where the sun and the moon and the stars were. This is how the Jewish world described this. And then the third heaven was the place where God is, and where we are now seated in Christ. And heaven is not just a future place where we go. And this is so important that we understand this. Someone, not me, has calculated that there are 286 references to heaven in the New Testament. Only two of them relate to heaven as a future thing. Only two of 286. Now, it is a future thing, and where we are, where we reside after we've died on this earth. But the point is that we dwell there from the day that we are born anew, born again, heavenly realms. A guy, a theologian called N.T. Wright, who you may or may not have heard of, said this: heaven is not a future destiny, but the other hidden dimension of our life. It's God's dimension, if you like. It's God's dimension, and it's also another dimension to our life, and that is heaven. It's almost like we're here on earth on a visa. It's not our permanent residence. We're just visiting, or as some old songs have said, just passing through. Because our citizenship is heaven. Our permanent home is heaven. So we're foreigners here. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you don't fit in? That you don't really belong? The world's values aren't your values. The way the world is going is not the way you really would like to see it go. Well, yeah, we're not from here. We're not permanent here. We're put here, and it's right that we're here, and God's got a plan and a purpose for us here. But our permanent residence is heaven, is with him. We are here to extend that kingdom, to build the church, heal the sick, cast out demons. We've got a purpose here. But we do all of these things from our position of being seated in the heavenly realms as heavenly citizens. And this is really important that we get this. Our base of operation has changed. We're operating from a different place, from the heavenly realms. Now, this is a huge subject, this massive subject. Huge books have been written on heaven and what it is and what happens when we die and what it is now. And I'm just going to brush the surface. So if this piques your interest, then look into it some more. Get studying on it. But what I want to do is I want us to look at what the heavenly realms are, because that will show us where we're operating from and what it means for us. Now, I've already mentioned the first aspect of that, that we're seated with him in heavenly realms. And so there are four more that I want to look at. And the first one is this. These heavenly realms are a place of spiritual blessing for us. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." We are blessed with every spiritual blessing because of Christ. So what are those blessings? What are they? As citizens of heaven, what are the blessings that we get as a result of that? Well, there are loads, but here's just a few. We're drawn into a relationship with the Father, and we've been born again. We have eternal security. Our sins are forgiven, and we've been given the power to overcome sin. We're no longer sin's victim. We're filled with the Holy Spirit and given spiritual gifts with which we can build up one another. We have protection from demonic attack, from threat, from all that kind of stuff. Christians have protection from that. We're brought into an intimate relationship with God, and we are allowed into his presence to worship him. We have love, joy, peace, and the knowledge of the grace of God. Freedom from fear, provision for our needs, and on the list goes. These are all available to us, seated in the heavenly realms. And we can communicate with others, or to others, from this place of spiritual blessing, from this spiritual realm. And often it happens when we don't even realise it. So I can't remember now whether it was last week or some weeks before. It's all sort of starting to blur for me as we go through the series. But at some point, I used an old workplace as an illustration and talked about that when I left, one of my colleagues came up to me and said, it's a pity you're leaving because you're the only one here with any integrity. Why do I say that again? Well, I had no idea that I was having that effect. I had no idea people were looking at me that way. But actually, when we go into situations, we change the atmosphere. Why? Because we take something of the kingdom of God with us. The kingdom of God goes with us wherever we go. And we might not say that much. We might not feel like we've done that much. But actually, we take it with us. And we change the place we're in. We do. You do. Even if you don't feel like it, even if you can't see it, you are changing it. I guarantee you that. Because the kingdom of God is not idle and not inactive. And so when you're somewhere, the place is changing. It's changing because you're taking the kingdom with you. You're taking that kingdom. And so we are blessed, and others get blessed because of where we are seated in heavenly places. There are so many benefits in being a heavenly citizen. These heavenly realms are also a place of authority. Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 1, towards the end of verse 20 and onwards. It says, God raised Jesus from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Jesus' power and authority is above all, for all time, for all eternity. And God's placed everything under his feet. But remember, we are in Christ and seated with him in the heavenly places. So actually, what does that mean? It means if everything's under Christ's feet, then everything is under our feet for all time and for all eternity. So, we are far above all things for eternity, and everything is under our feet. Now, I can't say, standing here right now, that I completely understand all of the implications of that. But listen, that huge mountain that you feel like you're facing this week, that feels like it's blocking your way, where is it? It's under your feet. That fear that you've been living with, that feels really strong, where are you in relation to it? Far above all. You're far above it because you're in Christ, because you're a heavenly citizen. How powerful is the devil that you've been battling? Well, he's beneath you because you're far above all things, because you're seated in heavenly places. We are above all. We are far above all. So think for a moment of something you're facing that looks insurmountable, that looks like it's overwhelming you. And then think about it. It's under your feet. It is trampled underfoot. You are far above it. God has given you everything you need to overcome it, because you're in Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms. So it's far below you. The difficulty is we can become unseated by our problems. Our mountains can seem bigger than God. Our problems can seem bigger than God. Our difficulties bigger than our faith. Our circumstances can seem so overwhelming than the feet that they're supposed to be under. Because we're seated with him, but we can become unseated, as it were. Unsettled, unseated by our problems. And we need to be calling out to God. So when we're walking and it feels like we're trying to walk on the stormy water and we're sinking, we need to call out to God and wait for that hand to come and take us and restore us and put us in that rightful place so that everything is under our feet. The enemy will try to unseat you, but God has put everything under the feet of Jesus, and we are in him and seated with him. We maintain our position by faith, not about how we feel, but about what Jesus has done, about what he says about us. And actually those times where we feel like we're sinking, more often than not, are identity issues, because we've forgotten just who we are. We've forgotten who we are and where Jesus has put us. Paul says here that Jesus is head over everything for the church, for you, for the people of God. This never changes. Jesus never moves from his throne. And that's where you belong. Don't put yourself down. Don't think it's not for you. You belong there, seated with him in heavenly realms. It is your right. It is your privilege. That is where you are. That is who you are. That is your identity today and for all eternity. It's encouraging, isn't it? Because what it means is anything that comes at you, anything that life throws at you, anything the enemy throws at you, it's under your feet already. It's defeated already. We just need to say, right, this is my identity. Whether I feel like it or not, this is who I am in Christ. But the enemy will try to unseat us, and the enemy will try to make us downtrodden. Because if we lose that, if we lose our authority and the position we have with Christ, then the threat to the enemy's kingdom is diminished. Because we are told this kingdom will advance forcefully and forceful men will take hold of it. And so we have authority to say, I am part of this kingdom. I am moving forward. Everything will be under my feet. This is not just about convincing ourselves. This is about declaring who we are in Christ. This is again saying, don't you know who I am? I'm a child of the King. I am a child of the King. Or someone on Facebook put it, I can't remember, I don't know who it was. I don't think it was anyone I know. I think it was a friend of someone's here. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know whose I am? Was it one of your friends, Kath? I think it was one of your friends, maybe. I don't know. Was it Kath? Did you put it? Oh, there you go. I read so much stuff. Sorry, Kath. It was Kath said, don't you know whose I am? Actually, I'm a child of the King. I belong to him. I thought that was brilliant. Brilliant, Kath. Fantastic. We are seated with him in heavenly places. It's a place of authority. And it's a place where we have the authority to bring to earth all the blessings and benefits and the displays of that kingdom. Don't be unseated. If you have been, then it's okay. You just repent. And you get back on your seat. And off we go again. As someone said, we don't fall headlong. We just pick ourselves. God picks us back up, seats us where we belong, with him. And on we go. The heavenly realms are a place for the display of God's wisdom. Ephesians 3:10 says, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's Ephesians 3:10 and 11. Jesus never intended for these two worlds, this physical world and the heavenly places, to be separate things in us. You know, it's not one thing for Sunday and another bit for the rest of the week. It's who we are all of the time. And we are to continue to live out our lives here on earth, but bringing his kingdom with us. Each one of you is a little bit of heaven touching earth. It's good, isn't it? Each one of you is a little bit of heaven touching earth. Now, you might look at yourself and go, well, I don't know about that. I'm sorry, but it doesn't matter how you feel about it. It's just a fact. It is a fact. It is your position in Christ. It's who he's made you. It's who he's made you. And it's true when it comes to the church. The church is so important. The church displays God's wisdom in us being saved and made into a family. And it demonstrates God's wisdom and glory in the heavenly places. The church is meant to be a taste of heaven on earth. I think we got a taste of that this afternoon as people are praying for one another, encouraging one another, speaking out words of wisdom and scripture to one another. That is a taste of heaven on earth. Because it's who God's made us to be. And it was in his presence. In God's presence. Now I know it doesn't always feel like that when you're gathered together. but it's what God has made it to be. And when we gather like this, when you gather in your life groups and at other times, we are a demonstration of the kingdom of God. And it is reflecting God's glory. That's who we are. We are an unstoppable force because it's the kingdom of God and that's unstoppable. We've just got to understand it and get our heads around it and live like it. And it's hard, isn't it? It is hard to do that. Life grinds you down. Things happen. I'm not trying to be triumphalistic and ignore the tough things that happen. Because it does happen and things do hurt. And I know that and I'm aware of that. But you know what? God has given you everything you need for that to be under your feet. That's the way God's made us. And to display his wisdom and his glory. And the church does that. Why? Because God has given the world a foretaste of his kingdom right now. Revelation 21 says this, that there will come a time when he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We're not there yet. We haven't got to that bit yet, but that is your future. I guarantee you. I promise you. How can I say that? Because God's promised it. God has promised you, the very creator of all of this has promised you that that is your destiny. That is where you're going. You're going to that place where there's no tears, no problems, no pain, no mourning, no death. That's your future. But how much of that can we have right now on earth? Well, I don't know. You may have heard the phrase, the now and the not yet. We get some of it now, some of it's not yet. As it shows in Revelation, how much can we have now? Well, do you know what? I'm up for getting as much of it as I can. I don't know how much God is willing of his perfect rule to be on earth now, but I'm going to ask him for as much as possible. And that is why we pray for people to be healed, because we say, God, we want some of that now, please. Let's have some healing. That's why we pray. That's why we seek God on things. We want it now. God, give us as much as you are willing. That should be our prayer. And when we meet together, when we're praying with people, when we're at work, we should be saying, God, give me more of your kingdom now, please. Give me more of your presence now. Let more of your kingdom touch earth right now. Absolutely. That's what we want to take with us. And you know what? I think God loves those prayers. I think God's happy for those prayers. And God answers those prayers. Maybe not in the way we often think, but he answers them. Oh, I've got to move on. We need to take our country with us. Our country. Heavenly citizenship. And these heavenly realms, final one, heavenly realms are a place of warfare. I was going to try and say that, and I haven't got a very deep voice. I can't do it. You need a voiceover person to do that bit, don't you? My voice just isn't that. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Again, that phrase, the heavenly places, where we're already seated, in the heavenly places. There are still some battles to be won. And I think that is probably the one thing that I've said this afternoon I don't need to convince you of. We know it, don't we? There are battles to be won. Life's hard, often. Not always. Sometimes, you know, we have those times where we say, I'm feeling the joy. I'm feeling the love and the peace. But for many, those times are fleeting and they're hard. And this is a well-known passage. And I just want to draw out a few things about warfare, because I think there's a lot of different things said on this. I'm not going to treat this subject in depth, but I want to give us some pointers. So, firstly, we have to remember our position. Remember where we're seated. You see, often we wage battle, we take on these battles from the perspective and position of being here on earth, rather than our true position of being in Christ and seated in heavenly places. How many times are we praying up, saying, God, as if he's distant, please help me. When actually what we need to be doing is just leaning in. We're seated with him in heavenly places, just leaning in. It's a really easy and intimate conversation. God, I know you're with me in this, because that's a statement of faith, and I need your help. It's not crying off to some distant God who's out there. We're seated with him in heavenly places. This is an intimate thing. This is an easy thing to talk to him. You see, Ephesians 6 doesn't really work unless we understand the position we're fighting from. The battles Paul describes are not earthly ones. They're taking place in the heavenly realms. So how can we fight them, let alone win, if we're doing it from an earthly perspective? You know, even with all our technological advances on this earth, if a soldier has to fight, you've got to have some of them in the country they're fighting. And that's the way it is for us. We're fighting in the heavenly realms. Now, of course, Revelation 12:10 tells us that Satan's already defeated in those realms. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. So we fight these battles from the position of being in Christ, which is a place of spiritual blessing and authority, where everything is under our feet and where we are a superior, in a place of superior power, far above all rule and authority. That's where we're fighting from, and we need to understand that. And yes, there's need for armour, and there's need for us to do various things and pray, but we've got to get our position right first. That passage in Ephesians 6, it goes on to talk about this warfare, but actually what Paul tells us to do primarily is stand. Four times he tells us to stand in our position. Verse 11, to stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 13, to stand your ground, and having done everything, to stand. And verse 14, to stand firm. We're not primarily commanded to fight. We're commanded to stand. The word stand is said with this, with a sense of immovability. Know your position in Christ, and stand in it. Stand there, in your position. And there's also a sense of shoulder to shoulder. We stand shoulder to shoulder with one another. This is a corporate thing as well. We need to stand. Everything is under your feet already. And so we need to stand in our position in Christ. That is how we wage war. We understand who we are, and we stand on that. But then Paul does say, after he's told us to stand, to fight. Having stood, having maintained our position, we fight. But the only offensive weapon we have is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So from the place of immovability and standing in that secure position of being in Christ, we speak the Word of God. That's how we fight. That's how we wage war. And the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. That's what it says. Because we've been given it all. It's the Word of God. That is how we can, in the words of Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We stand with Christ, and we pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So do you know what? We don't have to get all shouty and shout at the devil and all this kind of stuff. The Bible doesn't tell us to do that. It tells us to stand, know who you are, and know everything is already under your feet, and then use the Word of God. That's who we are. We are already victorious, and we come at our battles with that in mind, knowing it. Why? Because we are on the winning side. We are in the heavenly kingdom. We're heavenly citizens in God's kingdom. And as we take his kingdom with us, we see change and we see things happen. So in summary, have you got your passport? Have you got your passport for your heavenly kingdom? And how familiar are you with it? How familiar are you of your position in Christ, knowing who you are unlocks incredible power and authority and opportunities for us. Our heavenly passports have been issued. You all have one. And it has gold letters on the front that says heavenly citizen. We've got a new country that we're part of with huge privileges. And do you know what? This passport expires. Shall I see what date it expires? Oh, I should have had my glasses. 2020. That's quite a new one. 2020. Do you know what? Your heavenly passport never expires. It never expires. You have this forever, for eternity. It's just got eternity written on it. That's where you are for eternity. And it's a place of tremendous blessing, authority. And means we can see a display of God's glory through the church. Yeah, it's a place of warfare, but the battles are already won. We just need to stand in Christ, knowing who we are. We need to keep asking God, God, please show me where I'm seated. Please remind me where I'm seated, that I'm seated with you in heavenly realms. Please remind me of my authority. When I look to get unseated, please remind me where those issues lie. Beneath my feet, you have placed me far above all. Those fears, those problems, they're beneath your feet. You are standing on them because you are in heavenly places. You have authority, and it's time for us to exercise that authority and display God's glory as we advance, as his kingdom advances.